Shoreshing Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cloud. I want to welcome you to our program today. We're going to be returning to our roots, understanding the roots of our faith. And as we begin discussing these things, one of the first things we wanted to address is the concept of what we're calling concealed and revealed, or things that are hidden, and then those things that are going to be revealed to us. There is a lot in the Scripture, I think everybody would agree, that in all of our years of studying, we don't understand yet. We don't understand it fully. And this concept that we're going to address today is to show that the Father does keep things secret. He does keep things obscure, not to hide it from us in the sense that He doesn't want us to know, but that these things are to remain hidden until it's time for them to be revealed. And we're going to develop that and to show that, in fact, this serves us. It is to our benefit that these things are concealed and then revealed. And so as we begin, we want to go to the Scriptures and we want to read a few verses here for you that are going to lay the foundation for what we're going to be discussing over the next couple of weeks. Let's go first to Mark chapter 4, verse 22, which says this: "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." And then one more verse of scripture in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets." And so these verses, at least as far as I'm concerned, make it very clear that there are things that the Father has hidden. He has secrets, and it's to His glory to have these hidden things. But we also understand from the words of the Messiah that anything that He has hidden, anything that He has kept concealed, He is going to reveal it. In fact, the Father will do nothing. He will not act unless He first reveals His secret things, those things that He has kept concealed, to His servants, the prophets. Because, obviously, He wants His people to understand. He wants His people to know so that we can be equipped to function in our purpose, to do those things that He's placed us here on the earth to do. But, again, it's clear that the Scripture holds a lot of secrets, a lot of things that perhaps we do not yet understand. And when I say that, I understand that there are people who dispute this claim. They think that everything's been revealed. They don't think that the Creator has any more secrets, that everything is revealed in Messiah. However, we're going to, like I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to go back to the Word of God. We're going to look at some things to refute that particular claim. For instance, I know that most everybody out there, if you're like me, you like to study prophecy, and typically, when we go to study prophecy, we're going to go to the book of Revelation. And when you go to the book of Revelation, I dare say that the more you study, the more questions you have. And the more we learn, the more we realize how much more there is to learn. But in the book of Revelation, perhaps you're not aware that the word revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypsis, which really means this: unveiling, the revealing. And I argue that you cannot reveal something unless it was first hidden. You can't unveil something unless it was first veiled. And so that very book is to hint to us that there are things that the Father has concealed, but they are to be uncovered. They are to be revealed in their appointed time. Now, I want you to consider these two words, religion and relationship. And first of all, I think we would all acknowledge that the Father is not interested in religion. Our Father is interested in relationship. But when you consider what religion does, it makes some conclusions and some determinations. And then it lays down rules. And those rules typically don't change. Everything's rather rigid and stays that way from generation to generation. But relationships are different. Relationships mature. If you consider a man and a woman, his husband and wife, when that husband first meets his wife, there are certain things about her that will attract him to her. And they fall in love and they get married. But if they've been married for a long time, 20, 25, 30 years or more, I think most of us would have to agree that there were things you learned about your spouse in that relationship that you didn't know at first. And in fact, the only way that you come to know and to understand these, shall we say, hidden things in your spouse was because there was a relationship. And so that relationship doesn't, I don't want to use the word change, but it takes on more characteristics, it matures, and those things that you grow into with that relationship are built and founded upon those things that you already learn. So in an essence, that's what we're talking about here. As we mature in our relationship with the Creator, we're going to learn more things about Him. We're going to learn more things about ourselves. And this is a concept that is embedded in the Scripture itself. The more we study His Word, the more we're going to realize that there is so much more to understand. Now, I want to read to you from the prophet Isaiah something to kind of underscore this, the fact that he does have these hidden things in the Scripture. Isaiah chapter 48, beginning at verse 6, says this, "You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you have not heard them, lest you should say, 'Of course, I knew them.'" In other words, in our relationship with God, as we mature in that relationship, there are going to be things that He's going to make new to us. He's going to reveal things to us. And those things that He reveals to us were there. They had been established. But as we grow, He reveals more to us. As a matter of fact, in the passage that we just read in Isaiah 48, when it says new, actually the word in Hebrew would convey the idea of something that is renewed, something that, again, as we mature in this relationship, He makes it new to us. It's like when we read a text, perhaps, that we've read 100 times before, and all of a sudden, as we're reading that text, something jumps off of the page, and we see something in that verse that we'd never seen before. It had always been there, but He is renewing it to us. He's making it new to us. He's revealing something that was hidden to us. As a matter of fact, these things that are hidden, the word in Hebrew actually would convey the idea of something that is guarded, something that's protected. In other words, these things that He conceals, He's guarding them for the proper time and also to guard them from those who would misappropriate them, misuse them. So He reveals these things to His people. He reveals these things to those who are in this relationship. And as they mature in this relationship, He opens our understanding to more and more of His Word. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, we just read that. It says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search out the matter. I want to talk about a couple of Hebrew words within that particular verse. And the first word of interest to us is the word satar, and that's spelled samech tav resh. And satar means to hide, to conceal, but it carries the connotation of something is being hidden in order to provoke someone to look for it. And the best analogy that I have to offer is the children's game of hide and seek. People go out and hide because the person who is it is going to come seek. Now, imagine you're playing hide and seek, but there is no one to come looking for you. It would kind of defeat the purpose of the game, because the reason you hide is to provoke it to come seeking. And so in a similar fashion, these things that Proverbs 25:2 that the Creator conceals, satar, He does so in order to provoke us to come looking for it. In fact, that word satar is, or that phrase in the thing that we're looking for, these things that we're seeking, is to suggest that we're searching for them. We're looking very diligently for them. We're not just making just something kind of cursory and just blasé about it. We're diligently seeking these things because they are hidden. And so it kind of reminds us of going on a treasure hunt, if you will. We're going to go and hunt for hidden treasure. But how many times would you conceive of going and hunting for hidden treasure and finding that chest full of pearls and gems just on the top of the ground on some street corner where everybody passes it by. That's not where you find hidden treasure. To find treasure, you're going to have to dig for it. You're going to have to search diligently for it. And as a matter of fact, you're going to have a map. You're going to have something that leads you to the hidden treasure. But you're going to have to know how to decipher that map and to understand it. May I suggest that the Word, the Scriptures, are our map. And we're going to have to learn what the Scriptures say to understand that hidden treasure is indeed out there. But we're going to have to be diligent to seek for it, to dig for it. Because our Father is not going to leave something that's precious to Him, treasure. He's not going to leave it lying around on the ground for just anybody to come across it and to use it and to misappropriate it. If a king has treasure to leave to someone, he's not going to just leave it to anybody. He's going to leave it to his heirs, because his heirs will appreciate it. They will understand it. They won't, more than likely, won't misappropriate it. But if he's going to leave it to his heirs, he's going to bury it. He's going to hide it and conceal it. And then he's going to leave that leads them to the map. Because, you see, again, his heirs will not misappropriate it. Whereas just some average person out on the street may do something else with it. Let me read you a passage from the Gospels that I believe alludes to this concept. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, Yeshua says this, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." In other words, he's saying that these holy things, these things that the Creator has concealed in His Word, they're treasure to Him. They're precious to Him. And so He's not going to throw them before somebody and reveal them to somebody that would misuse them, that wouldn't care about their holiness. No, these things are for His children. These things are for His people to understand, because His people will regard its holiness and will appropriate it in the proper manner. Now, there's another word that we need to look at in Proverbs 25:2, and that is the word davar. And davar is translated matter, it's translated thing in most of our Bibles. But in Hebrew, the word davar, dalet bet resh, literally means word. And so what we find here is Proverbs 25:2 basically tells us this. It is the glory of God to conceal a word. It's the honor of kings to search out that hidden word. And so typically, where do you think the Creator will conceal a word? Well, it's obvious. It's within His Word. Once again, how many times have we received what we call a rhema word? We see a passage, we read it, we've studied it before, but all of a sudden, something appears there in the text, something we've never understood before, and that word is being revealed to us. And what we find many times is those things that are embedded and hidden and concealed in those Scriptures. Many of these things are crucial to our relationship with the Father, that our relationship with Him might mature and grow and bear more fruit. I want you to consider a tree. We'll make it a big oak tree of some type. It's been there for decades, maybe a century. And when we walk outside and we see that tree, we see the trunk, we see the branches, we see the twigs, the foliage, we see the acorns, we see all these things. But how many of us understand that the most important part of that tree is what we don't see? It's the root system. It's what's concealed. It's what's hidden from our eyes. And yet without that root system, that tree would not be able to receive nutrients and receive water to produce the branches and the foliage and the acorns. And we also understand that the root system is it's the anchor of that tree. It's what keeps it in the ground. It's what keeps it growing. And so the concept here is, it's not generally what you see and perceive that can be the most important things, but it's actually what you don't see. When you walk into a building, into a room or a house, and you see the walls and the ceiling and the fixtures and the carpeting, all these things, those are the things that we perceive and understand. However, we also know that beneath us, beneath that floor, there is a foundation. hidden from our eyes. And yet without that foundation, those things that we do see wouldn't be able to stand. Without the foundation, the walls would crumble, and the roof would cave in. And so once again, we see that what we don't see can oftentimes be the most important things. In fact, the very foundational principles. I want to show you something here on screen. And this is four basic levels of understanding. This is a rabbinical understanding, so you can take that for what it's worth. But it is taught that there are four basic interpretations of Scripture, what's called Peshat, which literally means what it says. It's very plain, it's very simple. The Remez, which is a hint at something. The Scriptures often hint at things that you can glean. There is what's called Derush, which is essentially homiletical teaching, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, etc. And then the fourth basic level of understanding is what is called sod in Hebrew. Not sod, but sod. And sod is those hidden things, those things that we don't see. But now I want you to see something else, and that is with the letter, or excuse me, the word sod, which means hidden. And by the way, when we say hidden, again, we're not talking about Eastern mystery religions here. We're talking about things that we have to dig for. But when you compare the word sod, which means hidden, to the Hebrew word yesod, you see they're very similar. And the word yesod means foundation. So my point here is this, that just like that tree that has a root system beneath the ground that you don't see, that root system is the foundation of what you do see. And just like every building has a foundation that you don't see, that's what upholds what you do see. And so I'm going to suggest to you that there are many things in the Scripture that throughout our history, and we're going to develop this as we go along, it's the things that we haven't seen that actually form the foundation for the things that we do see. Many times we find those things that the Creator has hidden, that He has concealed, are actually the things that uphold what we do see. Now, lest you think that I'm off on some wild tangent here, I want to read to you what Yeshua said, what the Messiah said in consideration of these hidden things. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin at verse 34. Yeshua says, "All these things Yeshua spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable He did not speak to them. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.'" And when Yeshua read this, he was referring, or Matthew was referring back to Psalm 78, where the psalmist says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." And so what we see in that is Yeshua in his ministry was teaching in a way that was designed to provoke those who wanted to diligently seek out the truth, those people who were hungry for the truth. He taught in a way that would provoke them to seek, to knock, to search. But it was also presented in a way that those who weren't interested in these things, those who didn't have any desire to mature in their relationship with the Creator, it was said in a way that those holy things would not be cast before those who would trample them under feet. And in doing this, he is fulfilling what the psalmist said would happen, that he would reveal things that are, the way the psalmist puts it, are dark sayings of old, things that have been established from the very beginning, but had not been understood. And so when Yeshua came, he began to make these things known. But again, he does it in parables. He does it in a way that's going to force us to seek, to search, to dig. If we're looking for buried treasure, there's going to come a point that we're going to have to get a shovel and we're going to have to start digging beneath the surface. In fact, when we talk about these hidden things, once again, we're not talking about Eastern mystery religions and those kinds of concepts that you have to be on some inner circle in order to understand. No, that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about things that the Father considers to be so holy and so precious that He hides them. But He wants to see among His children who wants to diligently seek His face, to understand Him, to mature in the relationship with Him. And so there's going to come a point in time, if we're going to glean these things, that we're going to have to dig. We're going to have to get into His Word. Because if we don't, these things aren't going to fall into our lap. I don't want you to misunderstand me. There are some things that are very simple, some things that are very plain. And one of those things is that we come into the relationship with the Creator through the Messiah, Yeshua. It's by His death, burial, and resurrection that we come into this relationship. End of story. But once we come into this relationship, if we want it to mature, then we're going to have to get into His Word. We're going to have to dig. We're going to have to seek. We're going to have to search. Now, I want to read you another scripture that is taken from Matthew chapter 13, because in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 10, Yeshua has a conversation with His disciples, and the disciples came and said to Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And He answered and He said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." And the word mystery, the Greek word, simply means this: something that had been hidden, had been hard to understand, but now those mysteries are being revealed. These mysteries, these hard to understand things, are being unveiled. And Messiah was telling His disciples that the reason I'm speaking in parables is, and I'm going to just paraphrase this, because it's been given to my disciples, my followers, those who are going to follow me, those who are going to emulate me. It's been given to them to understand the mysteries, those hard to grasp concepts, those obscure things about the kingdom of heaven. It's been given to them to understand these things. But those who are outside, those who are not my followers, those who are not my disciples, those who are not going to look into my word and try to emulate me and mature in their relationship, those people outside that aren't going to understand these things. It's going to seem foolishness to them. They're not going to perceive these things. And there's, again, that reason is because our King, our Father, has concealed things in His Word, and He has kept them concealed until it was time for them to be revealed. I want to give you an example. I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but I want to give you an example of what we mean. In fact, this is probably the most profound example of that, of what we're talking about, and that is the Messiah Himself, that the Word would become flesh, that He would go to a tree, that He would be crucified, that He would be buried in a tomb, hidden, if you will, and then be revealed on the third day. And we understand from the Scripture that until He was raised from the dead, no one really understood what was going on. No one understood what His true mission was, even though He made it very plain to His disciples. In other words, it was a mystery. It was something that the Creator had kept hidden until it was time for it to be revealed. And yet, 2,000 years after the fact, you and I can go back to the very beginning of Scripture and go through the writings of Moses and all the prophets and see how the Messiah was revealed in all of these things. And yet, in Yeshua's day, nobody understood it, because it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, to conceal a word. It's the honor of kings to go search these things out. And so, as we come to the end of this week's program, just to summarize, the Scripture makes it very clear that our Father does hide things. He does conceal things. But He doesn't do it because He doesn't want anybody to know it. No, as a matter of fact, He conceals these things in an effort to provoke His children, His people, His disciples, His followers, to search out these things diligently, to dig for these things, because there's treasure to be found. And when we find this treasure, His purposes are that it's going to enhance our lives. It's going to help us grow in a greater understanding of Him and His Word. But it doesn't stop there, because we're going to go from glory to glory. We're going to move from one phase to the next phase. And we are going to continue to see that there is so much in His Word that we do not yet understand. And I'm hopeful that in listening to this today, that you're going to be wanting to tune in next week and join us as we continue sharing some of these things, because we're just getting started. We've just scratched the surface. But in continuing our following programs, we're going to continue to develop this concept of things that are hidden and things that are revealed. And I want you to understand this. He doesn't just hide a word, but there are times that he has hidden people. And those people have remained hidden until it's time for them to be revealed. So that's where we're headed. So we want to thank you once again for joining us. And we hope that you've been blessed in some small way by what we've brought to you today. But make sure that you tune in next week. We're going to continue with this concept of concealed and revealed. When you join us, make sure you get your Bible, get your notepad, turn on your DVR, because there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to cover that you're going to want to go back and study on your own. So until then, this is Bill Cloud. Thank you once again. God bless you, and shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.